News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Today we want to talk about what's going to be just a hugely difficult day, difficult day for the McKee family in Belfast and for Lyra McKee's friends as well. She's been laid to rest, obviously, in just a few hours' time, her funeral taking place this morning. We're going to be chatting to one of her friends who will be at that funeral, Susan McKay, the journalist as well, who knew Lyra well, knew her for a long time. We'll be talking to her in just a moment. But just to recap something we were chatting about earlier, and we're chatting about it as well to Father Joseph Gormley from Craiganshane, and it was about... Is it fair to say you were making the point that the North's at a crossroads?
I think so. I really do think so. And the crossroads is this. Do we go forward with the kind of Ireland that I think Lyra McKee, from what I've read about her and heard about her, that she represented, you know, open-minded, tolerant, warm, talented, a kind? Or do we go back to down the road advocated by the new IRA, the real IRA, the continuity IRA, whatever you want to call them, whatever they call themselves? They want to bring us back to the worst days of the Troubles. And I do think we're at a crossroads. I know there have been people, and you made this point to me quite rightly in the last hour, Kieran, there have been people murdered before, since the Troubles ended. The worry is this time there's a vacuum there. We've had no government for the past 2.5 years. I think Brexit and the fears that this could lead to United Ireland in the loyalist community, and the way it's been exploited by some in the Republican community, I think that only adds to the sense of what might happen. I also think there is a unique opportunity. If some good is to come out of this awful, awful, senseless murder, it's in the reaction of people in Derry to the new IRA. There is a sea change in attitudes that we've never ever seen before. There is a chance to lance this boil of dissidence once and for all, but it has to be grabbed, and it's up to the two big parties, Sinn Féin and the DUP, to grab that opportunity and lance that boil once and for all by restoring the institutions. That is critical.
We'll be speaking to Michelle O'Neill of Sinn Féin in a couple of minutes' time. We want to know your thoughts in advance of that, actually. 53106 at a cost of 30 cent, or you can tweet us at Breakfast NT. But in the meantime, let's speak now to Susan McKay, the writer, journalist and friend of Lyra McKee, who will be at the funeral later today. Susan, look, to an extent we've been talking about politics and culture and society this morning, but you've known Lyra, you've known her for many years. Tell us about her.
She was a really lovely person, a true journalist through and through. You know, she had just a completely insatiable curiosity about people and events and politics and the world. And she had a huge circle of friends. She never wasted a meeting with anybody. You know, as soon as she met somebody, she would get to know them. She would note what they knew, what they were interested in, and she would keep in contact with them. So, you know, her family home, her mother's house, has been open for the last, since she died last Thursday night, you know, since the body was brought there. And, you know, there's just been a constant stream of people, all of whom were sharing, you know, quite personal memories of Lyra in a very striking way. You know, she just had a big impact on everybody who met her. For such a tiny little person, you know, she was a real little powerhouse and a very, very talented writer. You know, she was one of those people who loved to laugh, and she kind of encouraged everybody to perform and make her laugh because she was so appreciative. She was just an all-around lovely person and extremely kind. You know, she would have helped out people when they were stuck for money, and she was always sort of talking to homeless people on the street and trying to sort out something for them. And, you know, she just was a very, very generous soul.
And how has that wide circle of friends, as you described them, how have they been coping these last few days?
With great difficulty, I think. I think people are really bracing themselves for today when Lyra's funeral will take place, because it's really hard to believe that she's dead, and everybody's still talking about her in the present tense, you know, reminiscing, but sort of talking about, and we're going to the cinema on Friday or whatever, you know. It hasn't really sunk in, but of course, as everybody listening knows, you know, a funeral really does bring home the finality of death. And I mean, it's devastating in particular for her elderly mother, Joan McKee, with whom Lyra was living until very recently. And the two of them were as close as could be, great friends, completely sort of mad about each other. And then the other person who everybody's feeling for is Sarah Canning, who was Lyra's partner. And, you know, it's just so, so sad to think that they had their tickets bought. They were going off to New York in a couple of weeks' time to get engaged. And they knew from, they'd only known each other for a year, but both of them separately had said to their own inner circle of friends that, you know, this was the person they wanted to spend their lives with. People are also very angry. They're very angry at the people who killed her. They're very angry at the statements that have been put out, seeking to sort of apologise, but at the same time justify what was done.
We spoke earlier in the show, Susan, to Father Joseph Gormley from Craigan, and he talked about kind of the Ireland, that the Northern Ireland that the new IRA seeks to represent doesn't exist anymore, and that, you know, it is time for them to be forcefully taken from the stage. And I suppose that the job to be done is, of course, by the PSNI, but it's also by political leaders. It's by Sinn Féin and DUP and others actually providing leadership in the North. Is that an argument you'd have sympathy with?
Yes, I agree with everything. And Father Gormley has been absolutely amazing throughout all of this. Yes, the new IRA and their spokespeople use this language, you know, which is so archaic, you know, like they're talking about in the incursion by heavily armed British Crown forces, and they're signing their statements T. O'Neill, you know, the IRA in the past used to sign theirs P. O'Neill, and they're talking about their volunteers and so on, and it's just nonsense. And everybody knows that they're orchestrating any violence that there was. I mean, in the early days of the Troubles in Derry, the rioting represented a huge upsurge of communal anger in the community at the way that the Catholic community had been treated in the then completely unionist-dominated state. But that is no longer the case, and the vast majority of Republicans signed up to the Good Friday Agreement. And it's perfectly possible to dissent from the Good Friday Agreement, but this notion of continuing the armed struggle is just one that the vast majority of people don't relate to in any way. There is a serious need for the vacuum to be filled here, which is currently giving an opportunity to people like the killers of Lyra. We don't have a government here. There hasn't been one for 2 years. And we've got a Secretary of State who almost boasts of her ignorance about Northern Ireland and is hardly ever here and hasn't made any serious efforts that anybody can see to resolve the impasse.
All right, look, we'll have to leave it there. Susan McKay, writer, journalist and friend, of course, of Lyra McKee. Susan, thanks a million for speaking to us this morning.
OK, we're staying with this story. We're joined by Michelle O'Neill, now Vice President of Sinn Féin. Michelle, there is a sense, I think, that some good needs to come out of this tragic, pointless murder of Lyra. What, and I think that good would be the resumption of power sharing in the North. What can you and Sinn Féin do to make that happen?
Well, good morning. And firstly, can I say that obviously our thoughts and prayers are with the McKee family today. It's obviously a very tough day ahead and very tough days and weeks and months ahead for all that love Lyra McKee.
Absolutely.
And I think just the outpouring of grief, the outpouring of love for this young woman who had her whole life in front of her has just been phenomenal. And I think, and hopefully it's been some comfort to their family at what is a hugely difficult time. This young woman has been robbed from her family. She's been robbed from society. You know, she was such an articulate activist. She was an amazing young woman by all accounts. And I just feel heart sore for her family today.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is absolutely important to say that. Mm-hmm. What about the best tribute that could be paid to her, though, is to actually, that something could come out of this pointless death, and that would be the resumption of a government. Because you heard Susan McKay there talking about the vacuum that exists at the moment in politics on this island, and that vacuum gives the opportunity for the killers of Lyra McKee to thrive.
Well, firstly, can I say about those people that killed Lyra McKee that they have no politics, they have no strategy, they have no popular support amongst the vast majority of people. Unfortunately, what we have are a small number of self-appointed people who are caught in a time warp who want to bring us back. Their actions are pointless. They're anti-peace process. They're anti-community. And quite frankly, they're antiquated. they need to disband and desist. They need to leave the stage.
Okay.
In terms of positivity, and I think the one thing I just noted today that our family talked about, Lyra's family talked about, that Lyra had a message of positivity and hope. I share those sentiments, and I believe that we should always give people hope that there is a way forward, that there is better ahead. I'm certainly determined to do that. Sinn Féin are determined to do that.
Are you, though? Because we're 2.5 years into this and there's not any sign of a breakthrough. 2.5 years since your party collapsed the assembly. Now, I know you'll say you had your reasons for doing so, but it is 2.5 years, no sign of movement. That's not solely your fault, but you must take some responsibility for that.
No, well, firstly, let me say this. The first thing that I did last week whenever Lyra McKee lost her life was to contact the other party leaders. And the first thing that we all did collectively was that we put out a joint statement in terms of our condemnation in the strongest possible terms, that we said that we were united in rejecting those responsible for this despicable action. We said that they had no support in our community and they should disband immediately. So, I mean, there are times when we can, as political leaders, we can work together. Mm. There's nobody who wants the institutions to work more than ourselves. We're so very much wedded to the peace process. And I think if anything could come from what is such a hugely tragic situation is the fact that this is why we need to protect the Good Friday Agreement and our peace process. I absolutely agree with everyone, and I share actually the frustration that there has been no executive for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I have said this, and I actually said it to Simon Coveney yesterday, the current stalemate cannot continue. We've been saying that for some time.
Colm Eastwood says you've got to drop your red lines. And now, look, the DUP has to drop its intransigence. There's no question about that. Colm Eastwood says Sinn Féin needs to drop its red lines. Will you do that?
Last February, we had a deal with the DUP, and the DUP walked away. So I don't think our bona fides are in question in terms of wanting to make the institutions at work. There is only one show in town, and that is the Good Friday Agreement. That is our peace agreement. That involves us working in institutions, that involves us sharing power equally. But I think it's not lost on people, and even Susan McKay just said there also, that the British government have been disengaged, the Irish government have been disengaged because of Brexit. That is at the heart of our current political impasse.
Yeah, but is that not passing the book? Is that, Michelle, I have to put it to you. Look, nobody would suggest that the British Secretary of State is particularly good at her job. But is it not down to you guys and the DUP to sort this out and stop looking to London and stop looking to Dublin to sort out the mess?
But who the two co-guarantors of our peace agreement?
I get that. But you're the two big political parties in the North.
Yes, but the reality is, and it's not just my assessment or Sinn Féin's assessment, it's also the assessment of the Irish government, that the DUP are continuing to deny people their rights in the North. The DUP were involved in a financial scandal in the North, and everyone knows that the DUP do not have the bandwidth in which to get into a negotiation to establish power sharing again whilst they're in cahoots with
the Call their bluff. Give them what they're looking for.
So let me tell you what the way forward is. The way forward is for the two governments to get together, to hold an intergovernmental conference, which is what's set out in our agreements, for them to meet together to recognise that the DUP are unable to embrace rights which Lyra McKee herself was a campaigner for in terms of LGBT rights. And if the two governments came together, had the intergovernmental conference, decided to remove the obstacles, then that in itself would open the way for...
Is that not you guys already setting preconditions for those talks? You're already putting down preconditions.
But the issues that we're talking about go right to the heart of the Good Friday Agreement. You see, either you choose to protect the Good Friday Agreement or you want to throw it in the bin. I want to protect the Good Friday Agreement. We need genuine power sharing. We need to be able to work together. We need to give people hope. We need to build a better future. We need to not allow any space for anyone that wants to bring us back into the past. But I need a partner in which to do it. Okay. And my fundamental reality right now is the fact that the two governments have been distracted because of Brexit. And also, secondly, alongside that, has been the fact that the Tories are so dependent on the DUP that there's no impetus in the DUP to actually want to engage in a process.
Michelle, we do have
to... You have to give people hope and positivity. I share Lyra's sentiments. Sinn Féin will not be found wanting and trying to find a way back to make politics work for all of the people in the North.
Michelle O'Neill, Vice President of Sinn Féin, thanks indeed for talking to us this morning.